Jeremiah 31:1. At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. God is never spoken of as the God of all races. Only Israel is my people. As God says of old, I have loved thee, Israel, with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:31 is the very chapter Paul repeats in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 8:8. Telling of the New Testament that is made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. The New Testament is made with none other, even in the New Testament pages. Jeremiah 32:41. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good. I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. Who and who only are planted in this land? Israel can never be spiritualized away as a church in the modern concept. Jeremiah 31:35-37 and 33:17 tells us that Israel will always be a people, in the same way Peter does in the New Testament. This is to be so as long as the stars are shining and the moon can be seen. So Israel is still an individual, two-part racial entity today, consisting of the house of Israel and of the house of Judah. Jeremiah also tells us about the house of Israel always having a monarch over them. Jeremiah 33:17, and so this part of Israel must contain a monarch today. Note again the separation of Israel and Judah in this chapter. There are no separate prophecies concerning any non-Israelite church. Jeremiah 50:4-19, in those days, and in that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together, going and weeping, and they shall go and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way of Zion, with their faces thitherward, and I will bring Israel again to his habitation. It is always Israel and Judah only. Again, they are mentioned separately as seeking God together. There is not one drop of a stream of prophecy to the contrary. This verse is certainly not being fulfilled in the Israeli state today. Some would say that Zion is a figure of speech, or that the prophecy concerns the return of Judah to the land under Ezra and Nehemiah. But here it is both houses, not just Judah, who are mentioned as separate entities making up all Israel as being brought to his habitation. Israel will be sanctified in the eyes of all the other races when God gathers his people. Then shall they dwell in their land that I have given unto my servant Jacob, Jeremiah 28:24-26. The word Jacob can never include other races. The regathering of in Ezekiel, what did Ezekiel have to say? This book tells the same story in chapters 37 and 38. In particular, we find some verses are commonly extracted to support popular views. But these chapters also give a repeat of the timing factors, which immediately put this subject in the right perspective. Ezekiel was told, "Behold, I send you to the children of Israel," Ezekiel 2:3 and 3:1. To extend this limitation beyond the children of Israel is to deceive. We are told by the Apostle James, who wrote to the 12 tribes, that many deceivers are entered into the world. Our modern deceivers extend these 12 tribes to include every race on earth. They claim other races are joined by Israel by adoption. If this was so, then other races and churches would have to come to belong to one of the 12 tribes. They would have to be in either one or the other of the houses of Israel or Judah. Ezekiel 11:17. Thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you, Israel, from the people, and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. Ezekiel tells the same story as Jeremiah. He makes the same complaint about the pastors and prophets who ignore the national message of the Bible, and who have not made up the hedge of the house of Israel. He says that their teaching is prophecy out of their own hearts. The rest of this chapter tells how their teaching seduces Israel. Today, the modern teachers see visions of peace for Jerusalem, and they think that the Israeli state is the start of the fulfillment. But there will be no peace in Israel, in Jerusalem, until Edom Jews are destroyed there, and the Prince of Peace brings the righteous remnant back to enjoy the abundance of peace they alone are promised. This gathering is after Esau's descendants, the Jews, have been destroyed in the land by a complete and utter destruction. God says that these false prophets will have God's hand against them, and they shall bear their iniquity, Ezekiel 14:9-11. they shall be taken out from among Israel. It is God who is saying these things, like it or not. We can see the severity of God in this, and just how seriously we must take heed of this message. Although Israel is punished much for their abominations, God says in Ezekiel 6:60, "Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee, Israel, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant." But the gathering of Israel from among the nations wherein you are scattered, the countries where you are scattered, is with fiery purging and judgment. Ezekiel 20:34-38. All flesh shall know that I, the Lord, have drawn my sword. Can we perceive the sword sharpened as Ezekiel did? Or do we prophesy lies saying God's people shall be raptured away out of it? God's principles is always the unrighteous shall be severed from among the just. How dare our teachers reverse what Jesus says? They teach that the righteous are raptured away from the wicked. But that's the opposite of what Jesus said. These teachers must face their judgment. In the parable of the tares and the wheat, is it not the tares who are first burned? We must have a good think about this. Ezekiel 34 is too long to quote, but it is a mine of treasure on the subject of the gathering of Israel. It ends by saying, "Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God, and you, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God." Sheep and flock are the people who personally belong to God. Israel is brought back for a price and found. The bring in verse 13 and seeketh out, verse 12, parallel the bought and found through the New Testament parables. The new heart is a promise made to the house of Israel. You will look in vain for the new heart to be put in anyone else. What is the timing? We must look at this timing and see if it is what we have been taught. And with this, note the desolation that is yet to come upon the land of Israel before Israel's return. Other prophets write about this too, but you will not find our modern teachers even mentioning it. They're too busy prophesying smooth things about the Israeli state. These are the false prophets. These are the ones with the dangerous doctrines, every one of them. The prophecies of the dry bones and the two sticks are examples. Our end-time teachers and book writers are extracts from these chapters. But again, they ignore the timing factors of the regathering, as well as exactly who this prophet is addressing. Look at the dry bones in Ezekiel 37. "Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel." They're expressly stated to be Israelites, so how could they be anyone else? In verse 14, he says, "And I shall place you in your own land." Just who and who only are to be placed in their own land? It is Israel as a people who alone are being addressed. So we must again ask if this gives support for the present Israeli state. To support the Israeli state is to say, in effect, that the resurrection is past. The current teaching about the Israeli state is pure deception. What about the two sticks? Even the Jehovah Witnesses have a play on this one. However, the Bible states the one stick represents Judah, the other Israel, their companions or fellows. The sticks become joined together. This is a picture of the gathering together of all Israel. It includes no one else. It is not Jews and Gentiles in the popular context. The prophet goes on to say in verses 21 through 23, Ezekiel 37, "Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king unto them all, and they shall no more have to be two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all." Anyone who denies that Israel is made up of just these two people has a serious problem. If they are not prepared to believe this earthly thing, Jesus says they cannot ever believe heavenly things. At present, Israel could not possibly be a singular church, as some teach. The two parties could not possibly be Jews and Gentiles, as is commonly taught. All the komos, or order of Israel, that Jesus is talking about is changed by our teachers to be all the races of the earth. Ezekiel 37:24, "And David my servant shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd." Religious denominations teach that Jesus is the King of Christians of all races, that they fail to observe that Jesus says he has gone away to a far country and will return to take his kingdom and be one shepherd to Israel. Those falsely occupying the vineyard part at present will be destroyed with the brightness of his coming. The vineyard is not the whole earth, it is a specific area of the earth. Ezekiel 37:25, and they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, and my servant David shall be their prince forever. This land is a defined area on earth, being that given to Jacob. There is both racial separation and place separation. Ezekiel 37:28, and the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. In these verses we see two groups, the heathen and Israel. They are two completely separated entities. Ezekiel 39:21, and I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed, and my hand that I have laid upon them. Verse 22 and 23, so the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day and forward, and the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity. Verse 25, thus saith the Lord God, now I will bring again the captivity of Jacob, and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. Verse 27, and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations. Verse 28, then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen, but I have gathered them Israel unto their own land. Verse 29, neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit unto the house of Israel. Note here the segregation of Israel from the other nations. The mercy upon Israel is in the sight of many nations. So Israel and these many nations coexist, but are separate. On whom do the prophets say the Spirit is poured out? Do the prophets say it is poured out upon all races? From Joel 28 and from the New Testament, we have been taught that all flesh is not limited to Israel's sons and daughters, even if Israel are the people being addressed. But all flesh is almost always the all flesh of Israel. The important thing to note in connection with the gathering of Israel is that Israel is still a separate racial entity from the entire other nations. Not only at this late state of this present age, but into the next age. It is impossible that Israel has become a multiracial church. There is no prophecy at all about any portion of anyone of any race other than the 12 tribes. God's sanctuary is stated to be in the midst of Israel, and not in the midst of the heathen nations or races. At the end of Ezekiel, we find listed the apportioning of the land, which is divided according to the tribes of Israel. All those who want to continue to call the tribes of Israel the church will continue to blur what is on the pages of the Bible in black and white. The more this subject is examined, the more impossible the popular evangelical teachings become. Well, what does Daniel say about the regathering? The stone kingdom of Daniel 3 is touched upon earlier in this chapter. Why not proclaim the kingdom of heaven and a summary of the position of Daniel 7? In Daniel 7:13-14, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Yet again, this kingdom is separate from other peoples and nations. The other people are servants to Israel. The Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies of Israel, has the whole earth and all the other people in subjection. At the end of this book of Daniel, the archangel Michael standeth for the children of thy, Daniel's people. Daniel's people are Israel. The limitation is specific. Again, there is no suggestion of a church in the way it is presumed today. Well, what about Hosea? What does he have to say? Hosea 1:10, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And it shall come to pass that in a place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said of them, ye are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head. Here again we find the separation of the two houses. Peter in the New Testament quotes Hosea and does not say anything about anyone other than a singular nation. He is writing to Israel. Hosea 8:10, yea, though they, Israel, have hired among the nations, now I will gather them. God says he will then be as the dew to Israel. But note, none of these things are said to anyone of any other race. Israel is scattered among the other nations. Well, what about Joel, Prophet Joel? What did he say about the regathering? In those days of the pouring out, the blood and fire, the pillars and smoke, the sun being turned into darkness, the moon into blood, Mount Zion and Jerusalem shall be delivered. This is the time when God says he will be jealous for his land and pity his people. God's people expressed as being Israel are still that entity. The land is still the same area. The other races are still separate. Joel 3, 1 and 2, in those days I will plead with them there for my people and for their heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. God says that his heritage is still the unchanged nation of Israel, who are my people. It is not the church in the common concept. My land is still parted today. The remnant left of God's people are not raptured away from this time and trouble. They are very much present. Joel points out that at that time the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. The children of Israel are not multiracial non-Israelites. No strangers will pass through Jerusalem anymore after this regathering. Note this well in verse 17 of Joel 3. This means that such must be passing through Jerusalem up to this time. We can see that this passing through the strangers is not God's intention, and the effect of the mixed multitude within Israel is always to Israel's detriment. Also, what about the prophet Amos? What did he have to say about the regathering? Amos 9, 11 through 15. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall rebuild the waste cities, and I will plant them upon their own land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord. Amos did not prophesy about any rapture. Our modern teachers like to take an expression like rebuild the waste cities and then say, this is what is happening in Israel's state today. Cities are being built, but the tabernacle of David is not raised up, neither has the sun gone down at noonday. The cities of the land have never been devastated so much that there is not a person in a blade of grass or even a fish, as Zephaniah 1, 2, and 3 says. This must come to pass before the notable day of the Lord and before Israel returns to the land. This level of destruction has never happened yet to what is commonly called the Holy Land. The wasted cities will then be rebuilt by Israel, but not before this time. That which is being built now in Palestine must be something other than the prophets are talking about concerning Israel. We will see that the reference to the remnant of Edom in verse 12 is confirmed when we quote from Obadiah. These people, falsely calling themselves Jews, will be exterminated. Obadiah 1:17, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. This is a time when Israel displaces Edom. The house of Jacob never means all races. Neither was Obadiah a believer in a multiracial church. What about the regathering in Micah? Micah 2:12, I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together. Micah agrees with all the other prophets that the gathering only involves Israelites. When Israel is gathered, Micah tells the position of the other nations in chapter 4, verse 2. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. This is the same time when Jesus rules with Israel over the nations with a rod of iron. The nations shall see and be confounded at that might. Metaphorically, the other nations are to lick this dust, Micah 7:17. For the duration of the millennium, there is no more war among the nations, all of whom are still separate from Israel. Israel is described as a nation, as are the others. Other nations and Israel are always separate people in Scripture. All the prophets agree. Micah 5, 7, and 8, and the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people, as they do from the land. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles, among the nations. in the midst of many people as a lion among the beasts of the forest. Micah goes on to remind us of the doctrine of Balaam, and that to walk humbly with her God, Israel must avoid the idolatry that comes through racial intermarriage. Get that again. Israel must avoid the idolatry that comes through racial intermarriage. Idolatry always is a reason through Scripture for judgment upon Israel. Balaam prophesied blessing upon Israel when Israel dwelt as a separate people. Moabite intermarriage with Israel destroyed this separation, leading to an idol worship. As with the other prophets, Micah concludes with the usual message in verse 20 of chapter 7, "Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old." Despite what all the prophets have to say about this subject, it is ignored or spiritualized by most all of today's teachers. What about the regathering of Nahum, the prophet Nahum? Chapter 2, verse 2, "For the Lord God turned away, gathered," that's the word gathered, "the excellency of Jacob as the excellency of Israel." But Nahum is just as exclusive about Israel as the others. What about Habakkuk? Habakkuk says in chapter 2 and chapter 3, "You went forth for the salvation of thy people," the salvation of thy anointed. Israel is anointed, separated. To call Israel's God anointed is never taught today. It could be not possibly be taught together with popular concepts. This was covered in the chapter entitled Seeds, Natural and Spiritual. When we consider the time factor of chapter 3, when the Lord goes forth for the salvation of his people, this is the time of the second advent, Habakkuk 3:3-6. It is at the time of judgment. Habakkuk 3:18, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." This is the message of Habakkuk, gave to the chief singer about the salvation of the anointed people, Israel. It must be a very important message. What about the regathering by the prophet of Zephaniah? Zephaniah 3:17, 18, and 20, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. I will gather them that are sorrowful. At that time I will gather you again, for I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes." In this passage, the word gather is found twice. Although Zephaniah was a prophet to Judah, the last chapter speaks of the remnant of Israel and of the fulfillment beyond the return of Judah from Babylon. Israel is still found to be separate among all the people of the earth. What about Haggai? He says, according to the word in chapter 2, verse 5, "that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you." What about Zechariah? Chapter 2, verse 5, "For I saith the Lord, I will be unto her a wall of fire round about Jerusalem, and will be the glory in the midst of her." And Zechariah 8:7-8, "Behold, I will save my people, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people." Zechariah 10:6, "And I will strengthen the house of Judah, and will save the house of Joseph, and will bring them again to the place, and place them. For I have mercy upon them, and they will be as though I had not cast them off." The following chapters of this book tell of the continuing separation of all Israel from other races, and also the separation within Israel. Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives feature in a geographical way. Once again, the non-Israel nations come up to Jerusalem from year to year to worship the king. The very last verse of this book says, "And there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts." This means that the Canaanite must presently be in the house of the Lord. It is the doctrine of those with Canaanite blood that this book is proposing. Jesus says, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." What about the regathering mentioned by Malachi? Racial admixture is expressed as "hath married the daughters of a strange god." And we see that the Lord will cut off the man that does this, both the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob. It seems that most of our masters and scholars will be cut off because of what they're teaching. We have seen how other prophets say the same thing about the false prophets, who will be able to abide the day of his coming. The great and dreadful day of the Lord is at hand. In Malachi 4:4-6, remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers unto the children the heart to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. The last book of the Old Testament tells of the gathering and who will be entered into the book of remembrance. Again, it is a remnant of the sons of Jacob, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Also, this day will burn like an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. So what are we saying? Let us not be too proud to admit what the Lord of hosts says about the regathering of the remnant of the exclusive sons of Jacob. This subject of the regathering of Israel and the gospel of the kingdom have much in common. The people involved have the same racial identity. It is essential that we believe the right gospel, applying it to the same people that Scripture does. Prophesying timing, the regathering is not necessarily the same as the prophesying and timing of the second coming of Christ. We will now go to the New Testament, where we find no change from what we found in the Old Testament. Let me say it again so that you won't forget that prophesying the timing of the regathering of Israel is not necessarily the same as the prophesying and timing of the second coming of Christ.